Hello and welcome. We are starting a three-week series podcast on the idea of being in community and being together. My name is Andrew Gibson, senior pastor here at CFC, for those who don't know me. And today we are joined by Jill Boyd, who is our interim site pastor at Inner East and also one of our elders. Welcome, Jill. Good to see you. I guess we'll just maybe kick this off, Jill, by introing like why this topic, for like what's the reason behind it. And I suppose, you know, primarily there's a few things. One is like if we trace ourselves back as a church community, our beginnings, you know, it's referred to as, when you talk to the people from those days, it's the fellowship, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And also like another stream from the community of the King.
Yeah.
So
big buzzwords in our history, right?
Yeah, fellowship and community. And then like just off the back of our week of prayer and fasting that we had in January, some really significant words. Do you want to even like intro what some of them were or like bring those to us?
Yeah, there was a couple of threads that came through all sites, right?
Yeah.
So the biggest one from my memory was about the generations, that we're a community where all generations are present, yes, but actually how do we get better at cultivating intergenerational friendships and discipleships through the generations, all of that. So, and I think we know that deep within ourselves, that we, from the youngest to the oldest, we're a community where anybody can influence anybody. Like that's the message, isn't it? In the gospel. So I think those words always ring true. I think if you're an older person in our community, quite often it's, you know, we talk about history and do we give the impression that they're done? Because they're definitely not done. And we have had conversations before and services before where we've passed the baton. And there's something very ending in that, isn't there? It's like you pass the baton to
like
the next generation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm done here.
Yeah.
But actually, that's not even the prophetic words that were coming through. It's like, we're not done. And like even some people were giving words, I'm taking my baton back, right? Because we're all like literally all in this together, High School Musical and all that. But
give us a wee line.
All in this together. Oh, okay. No, let's not do that.
One boy to worship's enough.
One boy to worship is enough. not from me. Me singing's not good. But I think that concept of like, how do we do generations better? You know, we are a model of, you know, we literally are all age groups.
Yeah.
So it's not on one age group to be in the driving seat, which sometimes I think has been the case. And when you look at other churches, it seems like the 40s and 50s are the drivers, which in so many ways, the space, the time, the energy
the capacity,
to do
perhaps,
it, but not at the expense of going, these people either side, the younger ones, well, you're not ready. And the older ones, you've had your time. It's not that. I feel like God's speaking to us about like we are all on board.
Yeah.
All fellows in the same ship.
All fellowship.
Come on.
Yeah, that's good. And also I think it's important to say and to recognize, like, isn't it that our statement, our vision statement, our core statement of who we are a Christ-centered community.
Yeah.
So also Christ doesn't come in lesser amounts to younger people or in more amounts to older people. Mm-hmm. Yes, I mean, the understanding of Christ increases and evolves and grows and develops. But the reality is that Christ in the power and presence and person of the Spirit is in all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's even, don't want to jump too far ahead because we'll probably end up here today in Acts 2, but that prophecy of Joel, like, on all flesh will my Spirit fall, and sons and daughters and young and old.
Yeah.
And so community is very much a part of the scriptural vision, and all ages are very much part of the scriptural vision as well.
For sure.
And so I suppose, like, maybe kick off our convo today around this idea of community, and it's actually what God models, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like from the very beginning.
From the get-go.
Yeah. He says in Genesis, let us make man in our image. And so we have this relational, interconnected God, who's in community with himself in three beings of the same essence.
Oh gosh, I'm getting like twitches from university
from your college studies.
From Christology modules.
Homeosis, there's a word for our listeners to engage with. But this sense of the three in one, distinct but equal and preferential and deferential and all those things.
Yeah.
And talk us through, Jill, where does that go in Scripture then? What do we then see as Jesus then emerges as who was in the beginning, was the Word, was with God, was God? What does Jesus do? Like, I think it's amazing what he then does and forms based on who he is as part of the Godhead.
Well, even as he is like incarnated, so as he becomes flesh, to me, what we just see is him model what he knows to be true in spirit. So he's in this relational Godhead, it's not surprising that he presents himself in community and that he desires to be in a human relationship with other people. Like, he has friends, he has disciples, he has even a smaller friendship group within that wider group. He desires connection because actually that's who he knows what it is to live a connected life.
Yeah.
And it's like his most, like, I guess, perfect community for him is Father, Son, Spirit. And so he desires, you even think of what he's talking about in John 15, right? He's like, and we read it and go like, oh, that just sounds so crazy. Like, I'm in my Father and I want you to be in my Father. And if you're in me, then you will be in my Father. And there's this, he's drawing us into something that I sometimes think we can't even really wrap our heads around, because if all we ever know is human connection, there's something where humans feel us too. So actually what Christ is doing is he draws people, even his disciples.
What a group.
I would love to have heard the arguments. There's bound to be some cracker therapy moments in there with those 12.
There's some real hints, isn't there, in like Jesus' disciples of like, you know, argument or like jostling for position or like trying to find out, like even trying to find out like who's going to have the best seat, you know, in the kingdom, you know, all of those things are going on. And also like in the makeup of the disciples themselves, so diverse, so different, polar opposites, like even of the political spectrum. Totally. You had family, you had brothers in there, which, you know.
Gosh.
You have three.
I'm an only child and thank the Lord as I watch my three daughters. Yes,
you have three daughters who you know.
Are feisty.
Yeah, they have their moments. I have three sons and a daughter as well. And you know, there's siblings are constantly going to rub off each other, and they're in there with Jesus' gang, aren't they? With the crew. But do you think there's purpose in that? Like, what's the model? Like, what's Jesus doing? Because obviously, like, so from his baptism, right, you've got Father, Spirit, Son there as well in this like new creation moment. So there's a real clear parallel drawn from Genesis 1 right the way through to what is happening at the baptism. So you have relationship, you have community here again, and then straight from that, Jesus goes then, obviously in the wilderness, but then he goes into forming relationship. Is there significance, do you think, to who he goes after? You know, who does he call? Who does he ask to follow him? What does that mean? Like, because they're not all the same.
They're not all the same. And I think, like, if you could sum up what's the kingdom about and what's God about, it's love, right?
Yeah.
So, and in that love, if God is love, if we believe 1 John, all that, God is love. And we see that expressed in who he is, there's three. But I always love the concept that actually true love places its whole like thing on something other than itself, because it's easy to love self. So like even God being God is the very definition of love, because he loves something other than himself. So I think like that's what Jesus is doing. Like even when he's going into the world, he's laying down himself for the sake of others, which we see him ultimately do on the cross. So what he's modeling is, it doesn't matter who you are, how different you are from me. I want to develop a community where I reveal what love actually is. That love isn't about you. Love is about other. And actually we only ever understand that within God.
Yeah, that's good.
Which is where he's drawn us to the whole time. That's where he's drawn his disciples to. He's going, you want to learn, even when he's presenting the law, he's like, how do you fulfill the law? Well, we're going to learn to love each other.
Yeah.
And when these people are other than you and are different from you, actually it's about laying you aside for the sake of other all the time.
Yeah.
Which is our journey to become like Christ. So I think that's what he I think that's what he models. He's modeling love.
And there's something there, isn't there? As you journey to become like Christ, you know, so as Paul says, like he yearns for Christ to be formed in us. Like when we see him one day, we will be like him. So that is our journey to transformation in Christ. But there's something actually that can only happen in community.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, you know, post-pandemic, which has seen obviously an isolation occur, it's seen a withdrawal, you know, distance, all of those things. A lot of people have been like reevaluating their time, reevaluating their energy, where they're going to invest, what they're going to go to, what they're going to commit to, all of those things. And I think if we're honest, like our tendency can be to become quite self-focused.
100%.
On, you know, even with our own families, mm-hmm. like we're going to do this now, you know, and we become a little bit withdrawn. Is that fair? Like,
yeah,
is that what you're seeing?
Like 100%. I even say it with myself, so not even pointing fingers at any other people.
Yeah.
You even think, you know, on my own, I'm a really great Christian.
Even if you do say so yourself.
Even if I do say so myself. On my own, no, right?
Yeah.
Just me and Jesus.
Yeah.
I then go, I'm becoming more like you. Yeah. Here I am this morning. I'm talking to you. I'm praying to you. I'm worshiping you. I'm reading your word. This is class.
Yeah.
And I feel all fired up. And then I go out and I meet someone. And what I find in the other is that they stir all sorts of emotions in me that honestly are not the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm.
And so whenever I'm in conversation, then I realize, oh, I thought I was doing really, really good here, being patient, but you're really winding me up the wrong way. And what I discover in myself is that part of me has not come under Christ, and it's really only skin deep.
Yeah.
So what community does then is it reveals to me the areas that I need. Do you know what I mean?
So,
and it is then that thing where iron sharpens iron, and in community we realize, oh, I thought I was really full of love there until all these emotions of anger and hatred and frustration are now bubbling up within me because of this one thing this one person said. Surely that should not be the way of the kingdom.
Yeah. But because you don't know actually if you're patient until you've been tested in your patience, or you don't know.
Be careful what you pray for.
Yeah. How deep is my love actually until someone challenges your ability to actually love them, you know? Someone behaves in a way or says something to you and you're like, how is my self-control? What is the fruit of the Spirit? What is the Christ-likeness in me? We don't know that unless it's in a context where it's tested, challenged, and presented to us. Yeah. And it like holds a mirror up to us, doesn't it?
Like, let's see how like Jesus you are now.
Yeah. 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 No, very much so.
But then we can run away from that and go, I'm a terrible Christian. Or we can lean into those emotions and go, God, I honestly thought I was doing great with you.
Yeah.
And I just got really angry today.
Yeah.
And let's journey that. I don't want to be an angry person. I don't want to respond that way when someone does this. What am I doing? And you let him minister, because here's the thing, you can force it. Right. And I'm like we've had this conversations before in sermons and stuff, but I'm like the biggest self-righteous person. So I will try really, 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 really hard.
Yeah.
So if I have got anger on the inside of me, is it really the Holy Spirit teaching me self-control and patience if all I'm doing is gritting my back teeth so that you don't see my anger?
Yeah, it's different, isn't it?
It's different. Right. Yeah. So how much of us are like going, I'm going to control my anger right now, but actually it's still there. So like, how do we become people who in Christ discover that he wants to even transform that?
Yeah.
Because that's like what he presents. It's not even when he's challenging, you know, don't commit adultery, actually that the issue's lust. So it's not the fact that the outward thing looks good, because we're Christians that want to look good, but actually I've come to give you a radical heart transformation so that all this stuff gets flipped through my Spirit. So it's not through me trying really hard.
And we see, Jesus gently leading his disciples in that way, isn't it?
Towards love. Yeah.
And it's a challenge, and it's done together.
Yeah.
You know, isn't it? Even like the scene at the Last Supper when they're sitting around and, you know, is it I who's going to betray you? Or like, you know, Peter's like, you're not going to wash my my feet. You know, what are the other disciples saying? You know, they're Judas is meanwhile plotting, you know.
Scheming behind the scenes.
You know, so you've all these dynamics of like, but all the while, Jesus is just like setting his path of love. He's bringing people with him. And ultimately, we need to be in community to be like Christ. You know, we're a Christ-centered community. Mm-hmm. So therefore, we at CFC, that's so key to who, to who we are. So, you know, we want to, you want to be in yeah. the community here at CFC, then we're centered on Christ and we go after that together.
And I'm sure Jesus, well, even when you think of his journey in the garden, like it's not that he's not experiencing the same emotions as us.
Very much so.
Like, there's no way those disciples were all arguing and he's like,
guys, love
it. Like, you know, hippie Jesus, just not letting it. Like, but he's choosing, I'm just going to lay these feelings down. Like, even in the garden, he's going like, I feel pain, anxiety, worried. I want this to pass me, but I'm going to say no to that. And I'm going to lean in for the sake of other.
Yeah.
So he's always other focused. So no doubt within himself, he probably could have gritted his back teeth at times with his disciples, but that's not even his focus because his focus is them. How do I reveal to you who I am? So this isn't about him and his person not getting annoyed, angry, frustrated, because he's a human being.
Yeah.
Right. And it's none of those things are bad in themselves. It's what we do with those things.
Yeah.
That's the thing that causes us great anxiety, right?
Yeah.
And our behavior then becomes outward. And
interestingly, I think it's maybe important, and I'll maybe get your thoughts on this. Jesus very much engages with his community, but that's not at the expense of his own time. Because you talked about like John 15, you talked about like drawing from our source. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like, what is our root? So we do need our individual, we do need our time alone. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with me and Jesus, you know, we need that. We need that source.
I definitely need that.
To draw
and
from.
The people around me need me to need that.
We all need you to do that, Jill. But we all need to be in that place. But it's not to stay there.
Mm.
It's to be filled, to be to draw from that, those streams of living water, and then to engage then in community with others who also are doing that, and then together we can take what we've learned in our quiet place and our alone and journey that together.
Yeah.
I mean, the disciples got this. Like, it took them a while.
It did take them a while.
And I think it's probably fair to say, you know, when you read through the letters of in the New Testament of the churches, like, I think too often we paint the early church as this perfect community. Oh, if we could only be like the early church, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like the disciples and the apostles and those early church like leaders did get this, but that's not to say like it was all plain sailing. But when you go to Acts 2 and you see the community that Jesus formed, right, which was like the 12, although at the cross it was like a few women and John.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we see post-resurrection the transformation in that community, this Christ-centered now community. Waiting for power to come from on high, which is what Jesus promised them. And then the day of Pentecost comes and this this church then is formed and birthed. But like, what were they doing? Like, you know, what actually were they doing as a group of, what, 120 people? What did that look like?
I even just love what, I don't know the exact verse. You're the Holy One with your Bible, and I'm like modern technology.
You've got your Bible in your
iPad. I'm not checking texts, just so you know. I'm pulling up the scripture.
Love you, Aaron.
Love you. Oh, hey, yeah, that's for dinner. But yeah, I just love, where is that? Like, I can't even find it. You can skim read it. Nowhere it says they're devoted to one another.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
even just that phrase. And they were.
Acts 2:42.
Even just that.
Yeah.
Like, even that word, to be devoted to someone, is so the opposite of selfishness.
Yeah.
The opposite of selfishness. So in my devotion to our community, what Jesus models is, it's not about me.
It's not about you, yeah. Which is taken directly from the Last Supper.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm willing to
give my whole self.
Yeah. Put on my towel, wash your feet.
Like, yeah.
You've literally ate my at my body, you've drank my blood. Like my, this is pointing towards what the amount of sacrifice I'm going to make for you and lay down for you.
Yeah.
Then that then transfers into the type of people that are shaped and formed already at this stage.
Yeah.
And what they were engaging in, you know. So as you said, devoted to themselves.
Yeah, they're just, devoted to each other. And then they're, so the first thing, they're devoted to the apostles' teaching.
Yeah.
So what are they teaching? Well, they're teaching Jesus.
Yeah.
And everything that, all the scripture was pointing to him, and here's what it meant. And then fellowship, breaking of bread.
Yeah.
And prayer.
And prayer, yeah.
So there is the most Christ-centered. Mm-hmm. So they're learning about him. And in that then, there is a community formed, because we're all here as a community and our focus is Jesus.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and even we said we should have recorded the conversation before this, but we were talking about, well, what marks us as a community? Because actually I, even in my own life, have several different communities that I'm part of. I've got Sydenham, come on.
The NAM.
Consbrook, come on, love it, right? The Consbrook community, my neighbor, I have a neighborhood community. I have a community in work. I have a community of people that I study dental hygiene with. And so there's a community, and we form around something that unifies us in that moment, right?
Yeah. So
what are we doing as a Christian community?
So why is the church a different community? And that's a great point to stop.
Really?
Because we're going
just
to
get into it.
Yeah, so what makes the church a different community? What is the church? What are we at CFC? Why are we a different community? That's a great place to leave it, because we're going to jump in there in part two.
Dun, dun, dun.
So we'll engage in this conversation in part two of the CFC podcast next time. Hope you can join us.